Hi, my name is Gunnar Froh and I'm your host on the Wonder Mobility podcast. All right, welcome back to the Wonder Mobility podcast. And today I'm in person here with René Braun of Rides. Welcome, René.
Moin, moin.
Moin, moin. Thank you. We're here in our Hamburg office. And René is a co-founder, you're a co-founder and CEO of Rides, one of the pioneers, maybe the best one. We're using it here in the company of a mobility budget solution in Germany. Can you tell us a bit about your background before we kind of unpack this whole phenomenon of mobility budgets and where the market stands right now? Your background first. How did you end up doing this?
Yeah, of course. So I'm running the commercial side of the business. We founded the company now 2 years ago. Before that, I was bootstrapping my own company already in the travel industry. And I worked all my life long in mobility. So I worked for quite a famous German airline before. worked for an aircraft and plane manufacturer. Mm-hmm. So I've seen business models from public transport, airlines, micromobility already myself before and the experience I've done. And yeah, I'm running the business not alone, running the business together with my partner, Martin, who's our CTO in the company and who was the first employee at Get Your Guide. So one of the, let's say, big unicorns from Berlin.
And I believe you recently concluded your funding round. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Seed round with great institutional investors. Before that, though, you had already somehow on board also two famous other German corporates. Who and how did that come about?
Yeah, so we started Rides as an incubation as part of the Lufthansa Innovation Hub based out of Berlin. And when we spun off the venture, we decided that for the kickstart of the platform, of the business we want to operate, it makes sense to get a second strategic investor on board who is also very experienced in the space of mobility. And that was the moment when we decided that it makes sense to join forces from an investor perspective of Lufthansa as one of the investors and Porsche Digital Forward 31 as the second investor.
Mm-hmm. And can you describe a little bit the opportunity? We've been talking before we started recording here, but take us from really like 10,000 feet to then your product and your solution. What are we looking at in Germany in terms of mobility that you are tackling?
Yeah. So in terms of market size, for us, the relevant market in the next 5 years is the European market and mm-hmm. the US market. Mm-hmm. And here we are talking already about a market of 250 billion euros. So it's a huge opportunity. And
250 billion spent on what kind of mobility?
Yes, on company mobility.
On company mobility, okay.
Exactly. Yes, so it's a very big market and it's also a very fragmented market. So you have what you can see in the past. There has been many solutions in the company mobility space, but all of them very fragmented, usually serving only one single need of the customer. Mm-hmm. So now coming into the market, consolidating everything under one platform is what we want to do.
Before you gave kind of a classification of different types of travel, inside company travel and kind of clarified where you are attacking first, can you describe this, what kind of mobility needs you're seeing, where this money gets spent and how you can simplify it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I think in general, company mobility, it's a very tricky and difficult to understand market, especially for people mm-hmm. Who have never, let's say, worked in that space. So first of all, to organize it for the audience, there's three major pillars we see in the space of company mobility. Mm-hmm. So one is business trips. Mm-hmm. The other side is commute to work. So how do I bring my employees to the office and back to their apartment? And the third pillar is mobility as a benefit. So how can I incentivize my employees to work for my company? How can I incentivize them on top of their salary so they find me as an employer attractive? And that's the major separation we have for the market.
Which of these are you targeting with your product at the moment?
Yeah, so we have seen that in the business mobility space has been already a lot of active companies in the last couple of years, also startups and now scale-ups, which mm-hmm. have been also sold. in the recent years. And we focus on commute to work and mobility as a benefit because we see that this market is almost untouched. And it's the market is screaming for someone who is bringing their platform on top of it. And that's why we focus on that side.
How does your product work from a commuter employee perspective and from a company perspective?
Yeah, so first of all, that's exactly in the right way how you have to separate the pains we are solving. So when you think about the employee, from an employee perspective, the pain we are solving is that employees, they want to move around efficiently and they want to have access to all types of mobility. So they want to travel in a very flexible way.
Instead of being prescribed kind of one solution by the employee.
Exactly.
One dedicated company car or one season pass for the public transportation. For
exactly. Okay. Because you never know how my life is changing. For instance, myself, I got my first two sons in the last 3 years and my personal situation changed a lot. So also my mobility behavior is changing a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's something we are reflecting with our product. So that's the employee perspective. On the company side, we usually solve problems for HR and for fleet managers. And those are the persons who have to take care of the administrative side because mm-hmm. company mobility sounds nice. Every employee wants company mobility, but there's someone in the background who needs to run the Excel spreadsheets. And that's exactly the problem we want to solve. We want to help HR and fleet managers to automate their today very manual processes in order to handle the whole topic of company mobility. So that's if you separate into employer and employer. But on top of that, there's also the whole topic of sustainability. But that's for both sides. So the company wants to incentivize employees mm-hmm. To move more sustainably. And employers itself, they're also pushing for it and asking companies for more sustainable solutions.
How's that happening with your product today and in the future, helping companies to provide more sustainable solutions? Is that basically when you now give all these options, people can take the more appropriate means every time? Or are they somehow incentivizing certain ones or deactivate certain options? Or?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, reality check. So what is the mobility people are using today? Mm-hmm. Because as we speak, we're in Hamburg and sharing mobility is very visible, right? Mm-hmm. If I meet my family, let's say rather in remote areas, Hopstetten, Weiersbach, if you talk to them and you talk about sharing mobility, then they will rarely understand how you can use it just because there's no supply side in a village somewhere remotely in Germany. Mm-hmm. So reality check, how are people using today mobility? So most of the people are still using the car as the major mode of transport to move from A to B. And if you look, for instance, at the numbers and you look at the number of newly registered vehicles, then it's still over 60% of the cars have been registered by companies. So companies incentivize their people to use cars as of today. And there's a huge lobby around that. So we thought we need to somehow incentivize the employees to adapt to other modes of transport. And that's why we are providing them an app where they get full access to all modes of transport, sharing mobility, bike leasing, but also car subscriptions. That's also okay if you have a use case for that. But if you're living in a region where you can use shared mobility, we try with our product to incentivize them to use that and not register for a new car. Mm-hmm.
So very practically speaking, I'm using the Rides app. It's on my phone. And then I can see budget coming in from the company, a monthly kind of the tax-free amount. Do some companies do more, I guess?
Yes.
If they replace a current company car, for example, yeah. It would be higher, but then it's maybe taxed separately. And then I have basically all the logos there of the different partners that you've integrated. It's quite a lot. How many approximately?
Actually, we're an agnostic product. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to all the mobility you can use on a shared base or ad hoc base, mm-hmm. so you're leaving the office, you need an Uber, you mm-hmm. need a cab, you need car sharing, bike sharing, then you can basically use any type of operator out there because what we are providing to our customers is the Rides mobility card. And it's right. basically a card that you can plug in behind every single mobility app out there.
That actually now works everywhere.
Yes.
Okay.
Even outside of Germany.
All right. Because that is like a, maybe you can explain it better to us, but it looks kind of like a prepaid credit card or something in a way. It's like a credit card code that we can just use. And now that you say it's not limited to certain providers, I didn't fully realize, be used on Amazon as well, or?
No, it can't. And it shouldn't
used to pre-certify the merchant that
exactly.
it will be allowed on.
Exactly. So,
so there's a like pre-prescribed list of vendors.
Yes, it's you can see it as a kind of whitelist. Mm. And it's very important that the mobility card is only limited to mobility, mm-hmm. just because our customers are, at the end of the day, the companies. So we are running a B2B business. The companies are offering our product to their employees. And whenever you offer something on top of the salary to your employees, mm-hmm. you need to tax it in the right way. Mm-hmm. And whenever you want to use tax advantages for providing mobility to your employees for also private purposes, then it needs to be guaranteed that the card they're using is only limited to mobility and it can't be used for anything else.
So you're using this the details of this card to plug into the mobility provider of your choice, into the app over there, yeah. and then that's the source that will get charged when you use it. But the budget is usually limited. And what happens when you run out? Do you have to switch cards at the end of the month and then go back to this card? Or what's the typical experience there?
Yeah, I mean, just to make it very tangible for everyone, the way how the product works, you as an employee, you receive a monthly budget. It could mm-hmm. be 50 euros. We also have customers, they're providing 1,000 euros per month. It depends on several factors. And yeah, once you use that card and you do any type of trip from A to B, 10 euros with an Uber, for instance, the 10 euros will be automatically deducted mm-hmm. from your budget. And it works as you said. So you take the card credentials and you copy paste them into the card section of the mobility provider you want to use. You only need to do it once. Mm-hmm. Once the card is in, you never have to change it. If you reach the, let's say, the monthly amount which has been provided to you from your employer, then you can just change the card and use your private card.
And the typical experience probably now is that you can add multiple cards with operators. Yes. So you might make this a business card and add your private one, and then you don't have to re-enter the details
exactly
at the end of the month. Right?
Yes.
You are basically, you described the end user side, and then you said the provider side, now they have all the admin work. It sounds great, but there's an Excel list to manage, and you simplify that as well. Can you talk a little bit about how far you are going in terms of technology and integrations to really have some productivity gains there for the company?
Yeah. I mean, automating an Excel sheet, you can do it in several ways. We have decided ourselves that we want to enable it by technology. So that's also the very big center of our business. So we are not a sales-driven company, we're an engineering-driven company. And that means for us, to automate the processes of HR and fleet, you need to be a very integrative tool which integrates into their existing tools. Every company is using an HRIS software. So SAPs, Workdays, Personios, and you name them. And this was for us the first step to build an integration. So the data is automatically syncing. So the company is basically providing us the data. What are the or who are the employees who should use our product? And once their employees activated their account, we are sending this information back. And you can bring the taxation to the payroll of the respective employee.
Which HR management systems are you currently integrated with?
Workday, as of today, SAP, Personio, these ones.
Wow, that's a big coverage. And let's talk a little bit about how far this market has already evolved and what it currently looks like. Because I think the concept of mobility budget has already also been discussed for a few years. You are basically built an elegant implementation. Are people actually using it?
Yes.
Like, can you talk a little bit about traction, like overall market size, maybe compared to the also total market?
Yeah. So first of all, you're totally right. So the word mobility budget is running around already quite some time. And the existing, let's say, rather legacy players in the market, leasing companies, for instance, mm-hmm. They had a tough way to really bring that product into the market. Or option B, maybe they didn't want to bring it into the market. And that was also the moment when we said, okay, this concept is great, but no one is bringing it to the customers because they don't want to risk their existing core business. So it's the perfect market where we can jump in, disrupt, and show the old players how you have to do it. So first of all, I think the approach why we started.
And in terms of traction you can share it, what you are seeing today.
Yeah.
So, okay, we are using it as a company for a while, but we are kind of in the space.
Yes.
How about classic companies? Can you maybe name any example or?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So, our go-to-market was, I would say, a very traditional go-to-market mm-hmm. for a startup. So first of all, we were selling to startups and scale-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Because we knew that the tech market is a market where, especially engineers, really difficult to convince to get them into your company. Mm-hmm. So usually the employers try to be super attractive mm-hmm. in order to get the right talent in. So for us, the perfect market for the first steps. And that's where we started 2 years ago. And then we onboarded the first unicorn. So HelloFresh is a customer of ours. Flink, for instance, is one of our customers. So they're the big tech players from Berlin, Hamburg, Munich ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
But we realized also on our way that, especially from the marketing perspective, that more and more traditional companies heard about this concept and heard about startups who are trying to bring that product into market. So that started, I would say, maybe 1 year, 1.5 years ago. And today you can see that demand is really on all different angles. And especially now because of the 49 euro Deutschland ticket introduction. So this was now also for us from a mobility budget provider side, the moment when we realized, okay, now it's a product for everyone. As long as you also integrate the 49 euro Deutschland ticket into your product.
That's an interesting angle. Before we talk about kind of what that triggers in terms of marketing traction, can you put very rough like ranges, numbers to it, kind of what we are talking about? So for right now, you said 5 years perspective, it's the European market and US market. Right now, because of tax complications and everything, it's focused on the German market, about 19 million commuters, you said.
Yeah.
Previously, who are doing like a 17 kilometer trip on average, millions of them using company cars, probably. I don't know.
Yes.
How many do you know?
How many are using company cars? I don't have the exact number.
At least you said 60% of the new registered cars are registered with companies. So I also don't know the exact number, but
yeah.
I assume probably a million or more people using company cars at the moment. And then this kind of newer phenomenon of mobility budgets. What are we talking about in terms of traction here at the moment?
Yeah. So from our side, so we have now onboarded. So we are onboarding on a monthly basis 4-digit employees.
Several thousand employees per
yes.
month onboarded into your system
yes.
alone.
And increasing, yeah.
And probably in the sort of tens of thousands of registered users at the moment. And then there are individual other players also in the market. So not to be impolite because they're not here today, but probably like in total in Germany, there might be 50 to 100,000 people like signed up for a mobility budget somehow, right?
That's what you say.
That's what do you think? Is that like feasible or?
No, you can.
It's totally off.
It really depends also on the definition of what is a mobility budget.
Okay. Yeah. Can you say more about that?
Yeah, because for instance, what we see also on the competition side is that the 49 euro Deutschland ticket, for instance,
mm-hmm.
it's the replacement of the job ticket. Job ticket is something which has been implemented across almost every single company, big company mm-hmm. in Germany. And we see it as a part of the mobility budget. That's why if you think about integrating the Deutschland ticket into the mobility budget, then this number is way bigger than you just assumed for, let's say.
Right. So basically only maybe 50,000 or so out of 92 people use kind of a new age mobility budget where they have like everything visible in an app and maybe they have even this kind of flexibility to use a custom payment method and all these different options. But overall, employees in Germany who like get a recurring budget for mobility, maybe without any app or administered, kind of maybe just for their static solution, that's in the millions, right?
Yeah,
maybe
for
even
sure.
more than 10 million.
Yeah, yeah, it is for sure. Yes.
What makes you think that these people or most of them will all come into like a flexible, fully digital mobility budget in the coming years?
I mean, there is two drivers. Or you can also ask the question, why now? Not maybe in 5 or 10 years. Mm. One big driver in the industry is the sustainability aspect. And it's not an aspect where you could say, okay, it's another greenwashing initiative by certain type of people. It has been an initiative which is now mandatory for almost every company, at least starting next year, because the European Union just made it mandatory that you report on sustainability when it comes to mobility, and you report on the initiatives in order to reduce the CO2 for the people who are commuting to your office.
If you are a company over X employees?
It's for big companies, starts 2024, mid-sized companies, so typical German Mittelstand the year after 2025. And then 2026, also the small companies most likely have to do it.
Where will they have to report this as part of their annual report?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
And so now they want to at least, you know, take the minimum step to make these other options available.
Yeah.
Exactly. Then it's up to the employee what they actually end up using, but you're already...
More, I mean, that's, okay. I mean, there, let's say the governmental side, it's a strong push because you really have customers coming in asking us how can we solve that together. We're not able to measure the mobility, and I don't want even to talk about how we can improve it. So that's what we hear from customers. And then you also have the employees who are pushing, because especially younger generations are much more purpose-driven. They join companies and they reflect on the fact if the company has a sustainability aspect or not. And that's why companies know they have to change, and they will change.
Makes a ton of sense. Be huge growth ahead for solutions like yours. Why rides and not some of the other solutions that exist? What are you doing differently?
Yeah, so what we do differently, for us, the mobility budget concept is not a concept which is only focusing on sharing mobility. So we all love sharing mobility. We believe in sharing mobility, and we want to find ways to make the segment even more bigger than it is already today. But there's also other sides of mobility which are relevant to companies. And we consolidate all of them under one platform. And that makes us very different to the competition, because the competition usually focuses on one segment.
What are these other forms of mobility that are important to companies that you're also consolidating?
Yeah. So we're talking about 5 different segments. The first is sharing mobility. Second one is bike leasing, which is also a very strong and growing business, especially in Germany. The third one is public transport and Deutschland Ticket, the new Deutschland Ticket, which will be introduced next month. Then you have gas and charging cards, and you have car subscriptions and car leasing. And those are the 5 segments for us.
And all that is possible because you simply basically have to whitelist the right providers to now also make your virtual payment method usable for gas cards, for example?
Yes.
Or,
okay. Yeah, exactly.
Is that kind of the core differentiator right now, having this virtual payment method as a way to spread the budget? Or
I wouldn't call it. So when it comes to unique selling or value propositions, we rather want to point to the side of the administrative, to the administrative side, so HR and fleet managers. And here what we do is really we use technology to automate the processes, integrate, as we discussed already, into HR payroll systems, fleet systems. And that's the cutting, that's at the end your cutting edge. And
that's super interesting. Before, when we talked, you said you kind of more or less said you thought we were starting a mobility company, but now it's partially an HR management
system. How did I end up there?
So it's in both worlds, and I can see how these are the decision makers in the end, whether to go for it or which system to use.
Yes.
So really having their work flow in mind and integrating into these HR management systems deeply can be a real differentiator. So it's quite interesting that you say, because I didn't at first have this on my radar, that you are thinking about the HR team as a customer more than necessarily enabling the usage towards the operators.
Yeah, exactly. So we started the company fully focused on the mobility side. I mean, we are all mobility enthusiasts, and that's why we started the company. But we understood quite fast that you can have the best product for the employee. If the administrative side doesn't work, or is inefficient, then you will never be able to sell this product. Mm-hmm. Especially, or let's say, for especially for big companies, maybe for very, very small companies like 1 to 5 employees, it doesn't matter because the processes are not there, not long lasting. They are not inefficient because the number of people is just low. Mm-hmm. But whenever it gets bigger, then the administrative side gets a pain. Mm-hmm. And that's what you need to solve, because the person who will roll this out is going to be fleet or HR. And if they know that you will make their life a hell because the processes will just consume 20% of or 30% of their time. There is even companies with departments who are only managing company mobility. Mm-hmm. Cool. So if you can reduce that significantly and bring it to a minimum, then the customer will buy you.
Mm-hmm. And we talked earlier about kind of your business model and the way you think about like your commission and value generation and so on. And can you talk a little bit about this, how you would classify your business? Where do you take your margin, your cut, basically, and what happens to all the money that gets uploaded and doesn't get used?
Yeah, I mean, it's also not a very big secret on the business model side, so it's definitely something we can share. So we are a SaaS company. So we are asking our customers to pay for the value we create on a monthly basis. So only activated users have to pay a monthly fee for the service. That's one revenue source. The second one are the commissions. And the commissions, that's a very interesting field because, I mean, now we are talking about our B2B business, and the core business of Rides is B2B. Because we are selling to companies, but the companies are providing the product to employees. And employees, they are after work, private persons, so B2C customers. And we have seen with our data that we can set an incentive for employees to change their way how they work, how they move to their office, but it also have an indication on their private consumption of mobility. So that's the value we are creating on the supply side of our business to mobility operators. We provide them more volumes from companies, and we incentivize also in their private life to rather use their service than mm-hmm. any other service.
Can you talk a bit how this space has evolved where you get commissions from operators? Because I think where this comes from is that some early operators didn't want to be part of aggregators, for example. And yeah. I think now it's quite different in that you don't even have to like negotiate for a long time a custom solution, but this like a standard that most offer that if they would be integrated would receive some demand from you, there's some commission. How did you experience that? How open are operators to being used by your users?
Yeah. So I think it has changed a lot over the last years. So thinking about the super app and mobility, I mean, we are not the first ones. And I think already maybe 5 to 10 years ago, there were businesses trying to solve that from a B2C side. And the problem was always the same. You started to integrate several players, mm-hmm. and there have been some who were always very open to be integrated. Mm-hmm. And there were some who were afraid of losing their customer touch point. Mm-hmm. And
what's the norm today? Is it still a mix, or are most people basically, they just already know you have to collaborate with aggregators?
I think on the B2C side, operators getting more open to mm-hmm. platform approaches.
Getting more open, but means that sounds like most are not yet.
No, I would say most of them are already. I mean, I can't tell you the exact number, but I would create...
Are there prominent examples in the German market where they still are still fighting it? Where they try to not be aggregated?
The very big ones, I would say no.
Yeah, all are open to that. It's kind of the default now. Yeah.
Yes, I would say that. Yeah. And the interesting side also from a business model perspective, on the B2C side, there was usually something for sharing, especially sharing companies, ride-hailing companies, they were not focusing on, because all of them were focused on the B2C market with very high customer acquisition costs, high churn rates. But on the B2B side, it changed. If you can provide a channel for the operator to get more volumes, then they're all of them are open to join your concept. That's something we have seen at way lower CACs than you have seen in B2C businesses.
Mm-hmm. Plus, in your case, I think the user has to go through the full onboarding, and is really, it's just basically his payment method coming from you, but they become a full owner. Also the operator is the owner of this user data and
yes,
they knows are. Everything they want to know through their onboarding process. No?
Yeah.
And what's a market standard right now for people who are not working directly on this point, just to get a feeling for the order of magnitude for a commission in like percentage maybe or in cents? So if a 10 euro car share trip were taken and gets booked through an aggregator, does that aggregator typically end up with 0.1%, 1%, or 5% of the trip volume?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we can't share our commercials mm-hmm. with our partners, but I think if you want a comparison, then it's the, let's say, the typical affiliate rates you have in the market also from e-commerce, you know. Yeah.
That can vary a lot though. So we're talking about the 1%, 0.1% or 5%?
Depends on the market leverage the operators have. Yeah. So if you're talking to the very big players and global players in the market, they have way more leverage to you and the rates are a little bit lower. Mm. For the smaller ones who are just trying to find their cake in the market, for them, they sometimes provide higher margins just because they want to be more aggressive in the market and want to grow faster. So that really depends.
Mm. So Lyft would be a 0.1%, but Emmy might be 2%.
Nice second try.
And kind of maybe it's obvious, but it's still an interesting question. I asked myself that in the past, what happens to all the money that doesn't get used up? So people are sending credits you, I believe, or because it's not post payment that you invoice them, but they keep sending a regular amount. What if some employees end up not using it for a while?
Yeah.
Is that like why you didn't have to raise more money before?
Because we use the money.
Have a lot of working capital.
No, obviously not. No, so we don't touch our customer funds. That's very important. Yeah, so the way how it works is pretty easy. So let's assume you have a 100 euro mobility budget per month. You have only used 70 euros in March. Then the 30 euros delta, they will be transferred to the next period.
Sure, but I guess there are some employees who originally signed up. Why not? It's kind of a perk that is offered to me. Mm-hmm. Then they end up never using it. So there might be hundreds or thousands accumulating.
Yeah, we're sending the money at the end. So if an employee is leaving the company or is not using the product anymore, then we are transferring back the budgets to our customer.
As soon as they give the signal this user is no longer part of the program, it goes back. And meanwhile, it's, I believe you said before, it's like held separately. It's not part of your working capital
business. Exactly.
Just to calm everyone down.
Yes.
All right. What's your general view? We talked really in detail now about the product and mobility budget. And I think it's super interesting. It's interesting the triggers that you mentioned, where we are in terms of scale. So it's like meaningful scale, but still much more potential. But there could be some triggers in the near term now to assume it will be 10, 15, 20 times bigger. And you mentioned how you want to also differentiate, or are already doing it through the kind of tech first approach, deep integration to HR management systems, having these processes in mind. If we zoom out from the mobility budget topic more into mobility in general, since that's where you originally came from, not from the HR software side, what are some predictions that you have for the next year or 2 years, how things might change? So is it everything just bigger in 1 or 2 years, or what's something that is out there today or not yet out there that you think will change our landscape a lot?
Yeah. First of all, I truly believe that when it comes to changing mobility behaviors, also in the future, that companies will be the driving force because they can offer incentives to their employees just to try out new mobility, for instance. Mm-hmm. And in order to accelerate that process, the governments, the regional governments will play a very, very important role in their taxation models, how mobility will look like in the next couple of years. And that's something where we can see that there have been countries already like France, like Belgium, Netherlands. They have already tax incentivations only set up for the mobility budget.
Yeah.
And the consequence is super logical. More companies are using it because they have an incentive to save tax on their side, so they can easily provide it to their employees. And you can see that the mobility behavior is changing. And I think that all the other countries out there, especially in Europe for now, they're also working on similar concepts. So you see that, for instance, the Green Party at the moment in Germany is pushing hardly for tax incentivations on the mobility budget side. Mm-hmm. So the whole topic around tax is a super significant enabler for how people will move in the future. And no one talks about that.
It's a great point. I think it's really interesting. And no one likes to talk about it. It's like an annoying topic. I hate
especially
learning about tax. But yeah, for sure, drives what's getting offered by companies. And that drives, well, at least the company mobility. But like you mentioned, you're having an influence on their private mobility now because employees' private mobility, because these budgets are made available throughout the their life. And what you mentioned about France is super interesting. Yesterday, I met with one of the carpool leaders. And it's not really a phenomenon in Germany at the moment, but it is in France and also subsidized. And you get like the ongoing incentive and then €100 extra if you did so many trips over there. And the consequence was that the companies in the space just got much more traction in France. And eventually, a few months ago, basically, the French leader in this kind of nascent space bought the German leader. And so now engineering is all in France. And this is basically where the future champions in the space will be sitting. So I think that's also interesting. France definitely very forward looking in these new topics and already acting on it. And it's not just the consumer behavior, it's also where the companies who build this stuff will be and in the future. It's really urgent that this gets incentivized,
And I mean, just look at the current discussions, political discussions in Germany. Mm. I mean, we are a very automotive OEM-driven country with very, very interesting incentives for companies to provide also new vehicles to their employees. So if you get an electric vehicle, you almost pay no taxes today as an employee. So it's something where you, where companies have just like a super huge impact.
Mm.
Yeah. And in Germany is challenging due to the history of our interests.
Interesting kind of side question when you bring this up that I also hear sometimes from other founders and so on in the space. They ask themselves, is it worth for me to therefore do any lobbying work basically? Should I have public policy part of my calendar, maybe even a person in the team? Like, do we need to invest there, or are the cycles anyhow way too long that I just take whatever comes? So what's your view there? You are getting bigger as a company, but still have to be very lean probably and really be careful where to invest. Do you see yourself working in the space at all, or you just have to take it what comes because we are way too small to do any lobbying?
No, so we look at it and we are also active on that side. For me, lobby doesn't mean it has a very negative side, especially in Germany when you say the word. But for me, first of all, let's say jumping on the lobby side means for me you try to convince others of what you are convinced of. And we see that from a political point of view, we don't have enough visibility so far.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why for us, we decided that we have to be active there. That's why we, on a regular basis, we are meeting politicians. There's also a couple of unions now who are teaming up for the topic of the mobility budget. That's something we also have to create now to make our impact bigger, because we all believe that what we do has great impact on society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I personally have a little bit limited experience in this space from the kind of Airbnb times when we had to adapt, let's say, a housing regulation, and did that successfully also in Germany, but it was a long path. And the most, like the first lesson that people who are experienced there taught us in the beginning was, and kind of sticks with me, was where they said every legislation today is the outcome of prior lobbying work, and you can call it public policy work. But I think that's really definitely the case, that we should assume everything is getting influenced. And if we're not part of the conversation, someone else will influence it in another direction.
So yes, exactly. Totally.
For sure. But very like a marathon. So not easy when you're dealing with kind of the normal startup expectations and funding life cycles and so on, you know, to then work on something that might come on the agenda with the next parliament, for example, because the topics might already be set for this time around.
Yeah, but that's also why I'm also, when it comes to competition, I'm not scared of other companies getting into the market. I think actually it's pushing the industry, because the mobility budget market itself is a very, very big market. And new competitors are popping up as well, but they are also bringing visibility. And they also make everyone faster, right? So we are also faster because we know there's competitors. So
I totally agree with you. In your case, the big variable is how many, will there still be 100,000 people on these kind of systems in 3-4 years, or will it be a million people?
Yes. Yeah.
More than is another team also working on this.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah.
It's very fascinating. You are in a great space at the right time. So thanks for sharing a lot of insights and assessments here with us today, and even in person in Hamburg. Thanks a lot.
It was great
to meet you.
It was great to meet you.
Thank you.
It was a fun time.
Thanks.